We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app.
מחכים, מצפים, מקווים ורוצים שיגיע כבר היום לאותם סיגולה ונראה גאולה ונשגה עוד בקרוב כל יהודי בתוך ליבו יאמר אחכה לו
Welcome to the Jewish Hour and have a good Yontif. It is the Sukkah Show. We are here today. In this half hour of the show, we will be schmoozing about Sukkahs with the Jewish Hour's own Chana Finman. We've got lots of things to talk about. Tomorrow, if you're in the Ferndale area around 8 o'clock, Jewish Ferndale's having a barbecue, Sukkah party, and art show. We have a world-famous artist, Shoshana Brombacher, who was on the show a couple weeks ago. And we'll be featuring some of her work there. That's at 8 o'clock, and there is a charge. Go to the Facebook page or the www.jewishferndale.com and go there. There is no portion of the week. It's Sukkos. And we will mention probably something to do with maybe Shabbos Bereishis, which because the holiday ends the book of Deuteronomy, and we do start next Saturday reading the book of Bereishis of Genesis 1-1. Maybe we'll put those two together over there. We have a wonderful assortment of very fine Jewish music. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. A police officer and a soldier were injured near Tomer Junction in central Israel. The two were enforcing traffic laws in the area when they ordered a speeding driver to stop. Instead, the driver attempted to escape and rammed a squad car from behind, injuring both the officer and soldier. Magen David Adom, that's the Israeli Red Star of David, personnel treated both victims and transferred them to a nearby hospital. The driver who caused the ramming managed to escape, but police know who he is. A Jewish man was found stabbed to death in the Arab town of Kafir Kassim, located in central Israel. Police suspected a Jew hired Arab workers from the area, and the workers beat him to death during an argument. That's horrible. The crossings between Israel, the West Bank, and Gaza closed to Palestinians for the entire Sukkot week. This is actually normal, especially with escalations of attacks. Exceptions for the October 4th to 14th closings are for humanitarian, medical, and unusual cases with the approval of Israel's military coordinator. The State Department announced that a trove of Jewish treasures found in the flooded basement of Iraqi Security Forces building, this is back in 2008, we reported that way back when, will be returned to Iraq in September 2018. The U.S. spent $3 million restoring the artifacts, some of which are over 500 years old. No Jews currently live in Iraq. U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer sent a letter urging the State Department not to send the items back, but to find a permanent home for the Iraqi Jewish community who no longer live in New York, in Iraq. They live in New York, yes. This year's Jewish Nobel Prize winners so far are Michael Rauschbeck of Brandeis University for Medicine, Barry Barish from Caltech for Physics, Rainer Weiss of MIT for Physics. His father is Jewish and will report as the other ones get announced as well. And finally, Amazon is expanding in Israel, setting up Alexa shopping teams in Haifa and Tel Aviv with a total of 100 employees at the start. Amazon is seeking to hire scientists, software engineers, and product managers for the two offices. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music, and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start. Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have on the line Mrs. Chana Finman, my dear wife, co-producer of the Jewish Hour and co-director of Jewish Ferndale. How are you today, Chana?
Baruch Hashem. Thank God. Good.
Good. Good is a good word. Anyway, so we got Sukkot coming up tonight. So we're going to schmooze about Sukkot. So what's your take on the holiday, Chana Finman?
Well, that's a big question. My take on the holiday. I wish we could do takeout in the holiday.
Massive quantities of food, yes.
You know, sometimes it always cracks me up how rigorous Jewish holidays are or can be. You know, there's a lot of good caterers out there and wonderful bakeries, and people, thank God, make great use of them. But if you're doing it from scratch at home, my style, it takes a lot of planning, right? And a lot of stamina, you know, because we've had it this year that we had a lot of Shabbos, you know, Yom Tov Chol HaMoed, you know, it's just like, feeding lots of wonderful people in our home. I look forward to it, actually. I enjoy it a lot because I love the people.
So you say the effort is worth the reward then?
Yeah, and there's a Hasidic anachronism. Is that the right word?
Saying?
Phrase.
Yeah. Aphorism.
Yeah, one of these nice kind of quotable quotes that keep in your head, and you can help me with them. Say, I think it's originally said in Yiddish by one of the Chabad Rebbe, said, you know, that God creator makes everything spiritual, and then is spiritual being, and then makes a world that's physical. That's what God does. And then what does a Jew do? He takes the physical and he makes it spiritual. Right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So that's the thought that I have kicking around in my head. It kind of motivates me through the high holidays season, because for me, it's not as much as standing in shul as it is standing by the kitchen sink. And it's just the reality of it. And the truth is, it used to be back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, you know, I used to give a lot of have speaking engagements. I remember the title was called Sanctity, Serenity in the Kitchen Sink. That was a theme. And it was trying to bring out this idea, but it wasn't so cool to be in the kitchen, right? Back then, it was cooler for a woman to say she was a CEO. But things have changed. Now everybody wants to be in the kitchen. Now all you see in YouTubes and television and so on and so forth are cooking shows, and it makes me laugh. The women really work very hard to try to get out of the kitchen, but now everybody says it's the coziest place. I was at a conference called A Woman's Day of Learning here in Detroit at Shari Tzedek, that was put together by the Khan Hadal chair at Wayne State, and they had all these women speaking on a variety of subjects. But at one point, we went around the room, like around Robin, and the facilitator said, tell us, where do you spend most of your time, and what do you like to do the most? And, you know, this is a very mixed crowd. I think I was the only, quote-unquote, like, Orthodox-type person there, you know? So this was a wide range of very intelligent women, and every single one said this, the kitchen was the place they had control. And I thought that was amazing. I thought I was going to brag and say, hey, you know, I like hanging out in my art studio because I do. But mm-hmm. I was overwhelmed with the answer, where do you have the most control, the most authority? And these women said, my kitchen. So I thought, golly, after all this, we come to that.
Uh-huh. Indeed. Let's talk a little history over here. You were not raised religious. Your family, you didn't grow up with a sukkah. Tell us about your first experience in a sukkah, Hannah Finman.
You know, it's wonderful you brought that up, because there's nothing that makes me happier than a walk down memory lane. Brings me back to Mount Airy, Philadelphia, at the Rebecca Gratz Sunday School, which was a terrific place. My dad would drive us there on Sundays, and the girls who taught us were from Gratz College. They were wonderful. So once they took us to a sukkah. It was my first sukkah experience. I'm probably about 8 or 9 years old. And we walked through this part of Philadelphia, which is still quite nice, actually, Mount Airy. And it's very Jewish then. There were shuls, like, on every corner. And we went to a home. It was probably a rabbi's home, but we didn't know that. And I went to a sukkah, and they gave us grape juice and rye bread. And I thought it was the cutest thing. My family used to spend a lot of summers camping in Canada and in the national parks of the United States. So for me, it was just like, wow, the great outdoors. This is terrific. But the ideas that came with it were so foreign to me. When they talked about the Ane HaKavod, the clouds that the schach, the greens, represent on the top of the sukkah, they must have talked about it, but it was all so foreign to me. All I remembered was really the rye bread and the grape juice. It was about the food and all the great symbols of our reliance on God that we remember this after being brought into the high holiday season. And then we had Sukkot or Sukkot, which is our reflection on all of where we came from in the high holidays, plus some. All of that was beyond me. All I knew is I was eating rye bread and having grape juice, and it was pleasant. So mm-hmm. That's my earliest memory.
We didn't build a sukkah at home. That's really cool. We grew up in a three-family house, and my grandparents lived downstairs, and my grandparents were Orthodox. And my grandfather, who was a contractor and a carpenter, it was just amazing, because he always had this like scrap lumber leaning against the garage. And would come sukkahs after Yom Kippur, he would get out the thing. I would help him when I was like 4 or 5 years old. Here, she'll put the gloves on. You hold the board. You know, like my mother later told me, you think my father needed you to hold the board? Anyway, but I was very important because I got to hold the board for Zeta. He would put together this jigsaw puzzle of scrap wood.
Love it.
I do remember sitting in a little bit. I remember that he used deciduous tree branches because that was what was plentiful. And by usually like the fourth or fifth day, all the leaves had like fallen off of them. So, and I also remember...
You mean for the top?
Yes.
They would float down and land in a bowl of soup?
Yes. The pleasant early childhood memories I have is my grandmother taking me to shul to the synagogue.
Yeah.
And that was, they had a big synagogue and all the people would go in after the services. And the rabbi's wife made the salt and pepper schmaltz kugel, which was like beyond, way over the top. It was the only Lakshin kugel I ever liked.
Lakshin is the noodle kugel, noodle pudding.
Yes. Noodle pudding, yes, as they call it.
Noodle pudding just doesn't sound very Jewish, but that's basically what it is. I just have to say, though, that it's amazing how memory, and we weren't planning on talking about this, but memory is so bound up in food and the smell. You know, there's a story that a dear friend told me, that the importance of making challah. Now, I never thought it was so important to make challah. I was a very busy mom, and we used to go to the bakery a lot. And then this time of the year, I would try to bake challah, right?
You did this year. It was awesome.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with going to a bakery. You still have the mitzvah of having two challahs in the memory of the manna, the mun that fell for the Jews when they were in the desert. We put two challahs on the table. It's called lechem mishnah, two breads, right? So we're always remembering things. Everything is a testimony to where Jews were originated. We're always going back to our origins. But it's amazing that when people go back to their origins, their Jewish origins, it's the food. Anyway, so let me just tell you. So my friend told me that she went to great trouble to make her own challah every Friday morning. Why? She said her kids would come home from school. They went to Jewish school, so they come home around 12:30 or so, and she wanted them to have the smell. Like, that was a gift for her children to take into the future, to give over to their children, and then so on and so forth into the future, that the smell of baking challah is so, what's the word, indelible? Is that a word?
Indelible? Yes. Permanent.
You know what I'm saying? It's stuck there in your head.
Yes. Olfactory memory, yes.
Yeah. But she wanted the kids to be associating challah smell in the oven coming home to mommy. And how beautiful is that? You know what I mean? You can't buy that. I mean, you can buy it in a bakery, but you put the bakery bread in the challah, you get a little smell. But there's nothing like making it yourself. It's a big job.
Mm-hmm.
So nowadays you have gatherings where people get together and they make challah together. I think that's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. What do you look forward to for Sukkot?
What do I look forward to?
Yeah, Sukkot's good. Like, if you ask a rabbi, what's the most important holiday, they will say, whatever holiday is coming up next. Like, we just got done with Yom Kippur. So before Yom Kippur, the most important holiday is Yom Kippur. But now that Yom Kippur has passed, so the most important holiday is Sukkot. So what do you look forward to, Hannah Finman?
Wow. It's sort of, there's a lot of parts. And I love sitting in the sukkah with friends. You come into a place, which I didn't experience as a kid, but a little bit of that memory of my Philadelphia childhood in Mount Airy, in that lovely sukkah that our Sunday school class went to. I had a little taste of it then, of this feeling of total relaxation and coziness and feeling an achievement of just being there. You know, there's a lot of talk nowadays about the concept of living in the now. A lot of words for it, being mindful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a whole study in psychology, and it's influenced educators. It's a beautiful conceptual idea of living in the present now. And when you're in the sukkah and you look at the schach, which is full of meaning, and you smell it, it smells good because it's usually evergreens here in the United States. And you're with friends, and you have all your needs taken care of. You've already prepared all this food. Now you just have to enjoy it. And you're with friends and family, and I don't think there's anything sweeter than that in life. It's when the mitzvahs become for us a treasure house of loving it. And even though it might have been a little bit stressful organizing everything,
right?
Yeah, by now you've been in the sukkah a whole week, and by the end of the holiday, and you are totally in another state of mind. And it's true. I love that. I'm glad you brought it up, because you cannot purchase that state of mind. And I traveled extensively. I've been on gorgeous beaches all over the world. And I'll tell you something. Being in a sukkah, right, on sukkahs, and understanding the, it's a commandment that you're surrounded by. Like you always say, Herschel, it's like a big hug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a feeling that is so heartwarming and wonderful and a gift. So that's what I love the most. It's just being there in the sukkah.
Cool. Absolutely awesome. Okay,
yeah.
We introduced you also as the co-director of Jewish Ferndale. So tell us what's going on in Ferndale, Hannah Finman.
We have put up what is being billed as the largest sukkah ever in Ferndale. It's pretty big. How big is it?
12 by 24.
Yeah. So we hope we'll have a lot of people popping in who may be residents of Ferndale and didn't have time to organize a sukkah. By all means, we want people just to come in. You can bring a picnic basket and have your own lunch there. And that's what sukkahs ought to be. It ought to be casual and yet respectful, because this is not the opposite kind of party where it's, I don't know, people can get kind of silly, kind of out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
Sukkahs is very dignified, but not uncomfortable.
Oh, we're going to have dignified fun. Dignified, comfortable fun.
Exactly, because you're inside a mitzvah. So you want to bring your best self there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The point of Jewish Fernvale is to make Jewish life accessible to Jews in this region here. And so please do come. And I always like to tell people to try to bring a friend who's never had this experience before. People, you know, there's so many of us Jews who just are too, you know, just didn't have this opportunity yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not surprising to me when someone comes into a sukkah and tells me I've never been in a sukkah before. I say, yeah, there's a lot of us Jews who just didn't happen yet. Didn't have this experience. And it always makes me sad. You hear it in my voice.
Mm-hmm.
That there's still a child or Jewish person who just, for various reasons, they didn't get to have this experience. And I want them to have it. It's about this idea of unity and togetherness. Then we go off into the new year and we feel a sense of strength from being with like-minded people, like-minded in the sense of being proud to be Jewish and being involved with Jewish life. It makes us feel good that we belong. I think everybody is entitled to have that in life, right? That's what diversity is about, that you find a place which is your comfort zone. These are your people. This is your tribe. We're connected to each other. That's an excellent feeling to start a new year, a Jewish new year.
That's awesome. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for us. And Chana Finman, the Jewish Hour and Jewish Friend, would like to officially wish you a good Yontif and a successful year. And thank
Very
you.
Nice.
And thank you for coming on. We look forward to calling you back again.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This is brand spanking new. This is Michoel Przanski. It must be 10 years since he last came out with something. The album is called, the CD is called Shooting for the Moon, and we're going to play the title track, which is called, coincidentally enough, Shooting for the Moon.
Looking up. Standing on the ground, me and my dreams, galaxies apart. But I know, somewhere deep inside, I've got the strength to get that far. Climbing on a ladder in the sky, though I'm not an angel, maybe I could fly. Pushing through, still another mile, all I gotta do is try. I'm shooting for the moon tonight. I ride the winds at the speed of light. I set my goals, I made my mind. And if I miss, I'll make it to the stars. We're gonna make it to the top. I'm shooting for the moon tonight. And if I miss, I'll make it to the stars. Sending up yet another prayer. Father, I know you believe in me. When it's rough and I'm feeling doubt, you can raise me up above the clouds. I can feel
the power of a dream, giving me wings, taking me beyond all the pain, all the broken hopes, gonna leave it all behind.
I'm shooting for the moon tonight, I ride the winds at the speed of light, I set my goals, I made my mind, and if I miss, I'll make it to the stars, we're gonna make it to the top. I'm shooting for the moon tonight, and if I miss, I'll make it to the stars.
Never gonna break apart till I reach my destination. You're never gonna lose the spark in my soul. Gonna be a shining light, gonna be an inspiration. Never giving up the fight towards my goal.
I'm shooting for the moon tonight. I ride the wind at the speed of light, set my goals, I made my mind, and if I miss, I'll make it to the stars, gonna make it to the top. I'm shooting for the moon tonight, and if I miss, I'll make it to the stars.
I'm shooting for the moon tonight, I ride the winds at the speed of light, I set my goals, I made my mind, and if I miss, and if I miss, I'll make it to the stars. And if I miss, I'll make it to the stars.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Fidman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. This we're going to listen now is also pretty new. This is of Remy Roth, Lecha Keli, which translates as, "You are my God."
Lecha Keli, Eshuv Kasi, Lecha Cheshki, Ve'yavosi, Lecha Lipi, Ve'chil Yoisa, Lecha Ruchi, Ve'nishmosi, Ashirei.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Schulteman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This is the part of the show where we play something a little bit avant-garde, not necessarily something you would hear on the airways. This is the immortal, the one and only Joe Amar, Shir Nigun, which means sing a song. It's a real happy song. It's, you know, the simplest hour coming up. Let's listen.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. As we said at the onset of the show, there is no portion of the week, technically speaking, because we're in the holiday of Sukkot. But as soon as we finish Sukkot this coming Friday, we immediately go into Shabbos Bereishis, and we're reading Genesis 1:1. There is no gap between when we read Bracha, which is what we read on the holiday of Simchas Torah, which is, celebrates the conclusion of the reading of the Torah, and we dance around. It's Jewish, really one of the bigger Jewish party days. This whole week has been party week, but Simchas Torah is like party day of party week. And we go straight into, right again, right at the very beginning, because we know that things are cyclical, and therefore, it's the way it seems in this week's portion, even though we know the end comes after the beginning. That's like, duh, that's why it's the beginning and this one's the end. But the way we're reading it this week, for example, is that Friday we read the end, and then Saturday we'll read the beginning. So therefore, the end of the book must have a relationship with the beginning of the book because it comes right before it. In fact, we'd have to say that Shabbos Bereishis, the preparation for Shabbos Bereishis, the beginning of the reading of the book, is to conclude the end of the book. Now, there are those who have found an illusion that the last letter of the Torah, of the five books of Moses, is a lamed, an L. And the beginning of the book of Bereishis, of Genesis, is a base. And you put the two together, lamed and base, and you get the word lev, which is heart. Because after all, what is the heart of the Jewish people if not the Torah? But let's examine that on a deeper level. We have the content of what it was. The end of the book of Deuteronomy. Moses is on the mountain. He's on Mount Nebo. The Jewish people are ready to go into Israel, to the promised land. In the Bible, we would be starting the book of Joshua, but we don't do that in the synagogue. We don't read from the prophets or the later writings. We just read from the five books. And Moses, it says, is shown the land of Israel. And it says he shows him the Lebanon in the north and the Negev in the south, the desert in the south. And God showed him the Yam Ha'acharon, which literally translates means the last sea or the back sea. Nowhere else, anywhere, is the Mediterranean referred to as Yam Ha'acharon, the back sea or the last sea. It's usually referred to as Yam Hamaravi, the western sea. The word Mediterranean, I'm not sure what the word Mediterranean means. Jason, you know what the word Mediterranean like means? Like, what's a Mediterranean? If I mediterated, what would I be doing? You know, so I don't know what the word means, but I do know that the word west is very obvious because Israel's the eastern border of the Mediterranean, which calling it the West Sea really only works if you're on the east side of the Mediterranean. Then it becomes the West Sea. It wouldn't make any sense if you're, say, living in Spain to refer to the Mediterranean as the East Sea. So I guess somewhere over the point of the Roman conquest of the Greeks or whatever, they decided to give it one ubiquitous name, universal for all, and they gave it the name Mediterranean. But there's no such thing as called the last sea.
So sages tell us, don't read it yom, meaning sea, read it yom, meaning day. That Moses, as he was standing on Mount Nebo, was shown the timeline until Mashiach was going to come. 6,000 years, 7,000 years of history was presented to Moses the day that he passed away. And there's various stories about incidences that happened over the course of the millennia that Moses commented on. And Moses said that he is most impressed with this generation, the last generation before the coming of the Messiah, before Mashiach comes, that people engage in doing mitzvahs, they learn Torah, they adhere to the tenets of Judaism, without really having any type of a clue what's going on. You have to understand, when Moses did a mitzvah, he could see the connection that it made between himself and God. When we do a mitzvah, I was sitting in the sukkah before, and I'm told that there's all this tremendous godliness just giving me a hug, and I shook the lulav and the esrog, and that internalizes that tremendous godly hug. I subconsciously may have felt it, but I didn't see anything. Moses said, look what they're doing. They're doing it. What's the beginning of the book? Day one, God created light. What was this light? This light was not incandescence. It wasn't sunlight. The sun wasn't created till the fourth day. It was a divine energy. And it says about this divine light, which was created on the first day, that God hid it after Adam committed the sin in the garden, because he was afraid, God was concerned, lest wicked people use this light with which one can look from one end of the spectrum to the other, and hid it, where did he hide it? In the Torah, for the use of the righteous. And indeed, there are stories. There's a story about the Tzemach Tzedek who was standing looking at a window and was commenting on something that was happening two towns over. Like, huh? What? You know, things like that, and stories involving the Rebbe and instructing people to do things at a certain time in a certain place and to make sure that it happens. And just like, what? So there are those people who were able to tap into that divine light. What is that divine light? Where does one go to look for it? You have to turn inside. It's the lave. It's the heart of all of us. It is, what is Judaism? So we see that there is a direct connection then between the end of the portion and the beginning of the portion. Now, let's connect Simchas Torah, which is Friday, to Shabbos Bereishis. It's like, again, we got this paradigm shift going thing on. We did it a week before last when Yom Kippur was done, and we went from high holidays, the days of awe, to Zman Simchasenu, the days of our rejoicing. So now we're having another paradigm shift. Now we're going from Zman Simchasenu, the days of our rejoicing, to Yaakov Halach Ladarko. Jacob went on his way. We're going back into the world. Simchas Torah, we are getting down. It says, why are we dancing? The Torah says, I'm done. I'm completed. You read me the whole book. All 53 portions have been read. I feel like dancing. I don't have any legs. You have legs. You hold me. You dance. I'll be happy. So we're not being happy by ourselves or for ourselves or for anything that we accomplished. We are happy for the Torah. Shabbos Bereishis, it says, the way that the staying statement from the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, V'mishdeltzucha Shabbos Bereishis, Geit Min HaGantzior. Shabbos Bereishis is when we've taken everything that we've accomplished during the last 3 weeks, starting with Rosh Hashanah, through the 10 days of repentance, and we could even start it back to the beginning of the month of Elul, 2 months ago already, which was when we were preparing for this time, and then going to Yom Kippur, and then the days, the intermediary days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, when people are running around like who knows what, trying to get everything done, and then coming up through the holiday of Sukkot, the intermediary days of Sukkot, the last days of Sukkot with Simchas Torah. It doesn't end there.
But it says, the expression when it says Yaakov Holach Ladarko, that Jacob went on his way, means that he took what he had with him. And so when we go back into the world, the month, next month, the month of Cheshvan has no holidays in it. We're not celebrating anything. Why? It's not because we're recuperating from previous holidays, from the full month, all the stuff that we had this month. No, it's because we're taking what we have and we're bringing it into the year. And it's very much seen the fact that there is no gap between Simchas Torah, the end of the Zman Simchasenu, and Shabbos Bereishis, the beginning of what will be our next day of this new year. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats. They're gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way? Go to RabbiFinman.com. You'll be able to find the contact us link. You contact me, I'll contact you. We'll have this relationship now. We'll live happily ever after. You'll also find archived editions of the show. Want to hear something that maybe you missed the show last week or the week before? Or how about 8 months ago? It's all there. It's right there on RabbiFinman.com on the Rabbi's on the radio page. You'll also find archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, which are ways in which yours truly conveys the ethics, morals, culture, and fun of Judaism in a very easy and palatable way in various and sundry media. You'll also find the donations page. Baruch Hashem, we're in, that means thank God, today we paid July. So we're good. Salem Communications is not pulling the plug. They are patient. 90 days, not terrible, but they'll live with it. So, but I've often said, and I'll say it again here, if we could pay off August, September, October, before the end of October, I don't make the pledge over here anymore. You get to hear a longer story. I suppose longer is better, and I get to be more theatrical with the presentation of my story. So you would want to then go to your computer and go to RabbiFinman.com and click on the donations page link. They'll find a whole bunch of tabs over there where you can just enter in. It's automatically entered the number in which you can enter. There's also another. The world is filled with numbers. You've got lots of numbers to choose from. Just have to be above zero. And donate. It's all very safe, secure. It's by PayPal. It's Jewish Hour is a part of a project of a 501c corporation, as is Jewish Ferndale, and all the other things that Rabbi Finman does on RabbiFinman.com. You can go see them over there. So it is tax deductible, and it is considered a charity. So the Almighty's covered, the IRS is covered, and the Jewish Hour will be kept on air, which is now it's been 21 years that we are on air, and we will be able to continue ad in perpetuity because of people like you going to RabbiFinman.com and donating today. You can even do it such that you enter your information and click the every month page, the every month button, and that way just it does it. You don't even have to think about it, and you're good to go. Don't like internet giving? Understood. Send your donation in any amount to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Since it's still Sukkot, I'll tell you a Sukkot story.
The year was 1787, I believe. Don't quote me. The place, Liuzhna, White Russia, located many miles east of Grosse Pointe Farms. The time, Sukkot holiday. Let's call it late September, beginning of October. The weather, blizzard. Okay, it happens. Yeah, listen, you're talking Russia. There was so much snow that people had to hire people to shovel the roofs because they couldn't eat in their sukkahs. That's how much snow there was. And on top of that, because there were so many people visiting, people just got, I guess, blindsided and didn't expect there to be such inclement weather. People became deathly ill. I mean, serious. We're talking flu epidemic running through the town. One of the secretaries reported to the Alter Rebbe, to the First Lubavitcher Rebbe, that people were really sick. And so he said, this is what we're going to do. Tomorrow night at the end of Yom Tov, I want everybody assembled in the synagogue. I don't care what their condition is. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make, I think he was going to make Kiddush. The Rebbe's after that made it Havdalah. So it was at the beginning of the Yom Tov. And I'm going to make Kiddush, and I'm going to distribute my wine from the Kiddush to all the participants. And this will be a kos shel bracha, a cup of blessings. And indeed, people heard about this. They got very excited. It's never happened before. That the Rebbe is going to give out and distribute wine from his cup. Of course, they had to make a whole, the rabbi said, I'll only do it if there is an order and there's something set up and there's a system and how to distribute it. And so they of course, went to very strong young men to act as, say, like, I wouldn't say exactly bouncers, but, you know, crowd control would be probably better. And people came. The entire city was there. There were people that were so sick that they had to have people carry them on their mattresses because they could not get out of bed. The rabbi led the davening. And then afterwards, he made the kiddush. And he distributed the wine, and everybody in the synagogue received wine. The next day, word came back that the flu epidemic was over. And since that time, it was customary for the Lubavitcher Rebbe's that the end and conclusion of the Yomim Tovim at the holidays, at the end of Rosh Hashanah, the end of Sukkot, the end of Pesach, and the end of Shavuos, to distribute wine in this cup of blessing. That's going to do it for today. You still got some days left. You still got, let's see, it's half a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to party on. And then you have Thursday and Friday. Wednesday night is Shmini Atzeres. Thursday night is Simchas Torah. And it says, what you didn't cry on Yom Kippur, you can dance on Simchas Torah. It'll accomplish the same thing. Followed immediately by Shabbos Breishis, Shteltzach Shabbos Breishis, Gatman Agansir. It's an indicator. Do good things next Saturday. And we'll see you back again next week. Take care.
Shavatenu